to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Nene.
Hey there, Kat.
What's up? It's so good to have you back.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to talk to you today.
So our main focus today is to talk about the Avengers from a girl's perspective, because, you know, I talked with Eric and Daryl, Will and Carl about it, but there's some things that I want to talk about that, you know, kind of girls, you know, we have our own little perspective on it that you can't really go into with the guys.
That's true.
And Stephanie thinks I punished her, so we'll talk about that a bit later. So, I started the show out before, how pumped up were you about this movie? Were you super pumped up? Were you like, where were you on the Avengers spectrum?
So, I hadn't seen any of the previous Hulk movies or Captain America, but I had seen Iron Man. Did not see Iron Man 2, and so I heard that that was terrible and that I'm lucky that I didn't see it or something like that.
Terrible is strong.
Okay, well, I hadn't seen it, so I had limited knowledge, but I do remember, you know, a few of the cartoons.
Oh, dear.
Back in the day, so I had a little bit of a grasp of the movie. Wasn't really looking forward to it until I met you guys, and then I was. But I will tell you this, after I saw Cabin in the Woods, and after I knew that Joss Whedon was directing, then and writing and doing all those things, then I knew that I wanted to see it.
Okay. Did you see Thor?
I did not see Thor. I saw Thor's. I saw his sexy body.
Well, you know, and that's what we're talking about today. You know, I'm in love with these guys, like most of them, because they're just, you know, fantasy guys that do the things that, you know, normal guys really don't get into. They don't have to, you know, whatever. But like my first in the Avengers line love was Iron Man, because he has the gadgets. He's very super smart. You know, if you're going to be with a guy, I want to be with a guy that has lots of money, lots of gadgets, you know, and he's funny, snarky, all that, you know. And I really, really enjoyed Iron Man from that perspective. And
bad taste in women.
Yeah, he's a womanizer. I wouldn't want to like be with him in real life because he's a dick. But you know, as a character on the movie, you just like, that's what I'm talking about. You have the energy, that you have the whatever it is that I'm looking for, and I love it to see him, and he makes me laugh, and he's funny. And Did you get that from him when you first?
Yeah, definitely. I loved Iron Man in this movie, and I loved him. I loved him in his own Iron Man movie, but I loved him in the Avengers too, because he kept the movie going in a lot of spots, and his banter was the best, I'd say. But yeah, he was, and he makes Robert Downey Jr., who's like super old, like seems super sexy. So
yeah. But well, what? Wait a second. Robert Downey Jr. has to make Iron Man sexy, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess Robert Downey Jr. in that role is sexy, and yeah. I think that part of his character is to thank for Iron Man, and then part of Iron Man's character is to thank for him. Huh. You know. Yeah, I mean, because he brings a lot to the role, but obviously that character existed before he stepped into it. Yeah, so I thoroughly enjoyed him in this movie.
To be honest, though, I did not care about Iron Man prior to Robert Downey Jr.'s incarnation of him, because, like, he's just not a fascinating character. It's like you say, it's a man, he's an Iron Man, and then what? Like, I don't care. I've never read the comics. I didn't know that much about him. All I know is that because he didn't stand out to me, like, say, a Wolverine or something like that, I didn't care about Iron Man until I saw the movie. And right. I was like, why did I not know about this guy before? I'm in love. Yeah. You know, I was a cheerleader. So
the only knowledge I had of of Iron Man prior to Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man was Black Sabbath's Iron Man. So like 13-year-old trying to learn how to play the like guitar. That's it. And bombing miserably, but anyway.
It's just the fun of it.
That's all. So yeah,
So,
it really has made it for me, but
yeah. Like you, I did not see any of the Hulk movies. I was warned away from them. So I was just like, I'm not really like the last time I watched, I remember being forced to watch like some Hulk reruns with that guy, the
Louis
80s or whatever.
somebody.
Yeah,
What's the guy's name now?
Lou Ferrigno?
Yes, that guy.
Yes. Okay,
Except for
so
being an Iron
I don't
Man
know why,
League
because I was gonna
winner.
say Louis Gossett
Sorry.
Jr. at first. I'm sorry, but
Oh.
that's really wrong.
Yeah.
So it was one of the two Lous. But yeah.
I loved the Hulk TV show, though. I used to watch that all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I watched that and Wonder Woman all
Yeah,
the
I
time.
remember Wonder Woman too. Yeah. But you know, like I don't can't remember any plots or anything like that. So I remember
Well,
seeing.
no. Hulk mash. That's all. That's all I know.
That's all I really remember. But so yeah, I was warned off of the Hulk movies. The Captain America movie, I say that you should watch it, but I don't think it's an emergency for
Does
you.
he have the same hair in that movie?
Yes.
Ew! It's like plugs and weird, like sea monkey waves. No, thank you. I can't watch that movie now because of Captain America's hair. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, I didn't notice anything
Oh.
in it. Anything. The only person's hair that I was really pissed off about was Loki's because he had like these weird flip curls in the back. And I was just like, why do you have that? Why is that there? Why are they flipped? Why are you looking like a soccer mom right now?
Everybody
Why
had
are you
different
pissing me off?
incarnations of Nicolas Cage's hair. Like, it's like they raided his hair pieces. Everybody had terrible Nicolas Cage incarnations. Like, Thor had this nasty, stringy something. I don't know what that was.
I
It was
liked it.
dead on his head.
I
And
liked
then Loki had sort of like receding hairline, Oprah hair. And then, well, it's like sort of Oprah, sort of Ronald McDonald if he dyed his hair black. Like that's Loki's hair. Captain America with this weird like plug.
talking about? What do you mean, monkey? What now?
Sea monkey hair. It was like waving in the wind, like sea monkeys wave in the water. It was just unnatural and wrong.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know. You obviously have a thing about hair. I mean, we've gone over this many times.
You're the one who came out with the sea monkey hair. Remember
I
that.
don't know. Like everybody else had, like okay hair, but Captain America had, like
I didn't notice his hair.
Nick Cage.
I
He had Nick Cage like cadet hair. Like I can't. I'm a junior cadet Nick Cage head. That's what he had. It was weird. I didn't like it. And if that's the hair that's in his own movie,
No, but
then.
you didn't have that hair the whole time, so maybe you can watch it because of that. And maybe they
Well,
don't show this
was
sea
it
monkey.
shaved?
Huh?
Did he have a shaved head?
No.
Or like a buzz cut?
Not the whole time.
Okay, so if there was a buzz cut, then I will superimpose that in my mind on his horrible hair, and that will be my happy place
Oh dear.
when I have to look at
I
horrible hair.
don't know you because like when I was looking at Captain America, the last thing I was looking at was his hair.
Really?
Like
I couldn't
when he
get past
when he was introduced, we saw him from the back and he was on that punching bag. That was a great ad.
Okay, that was a really good scene. Yeah, he's got like
Look at
unnatural curve muscles.
that. That's a
I've
man
never seen
ass right there.
those. Yeah, it's true.
And those thighs, and then he was just like hitting that thing, and his little
It's true.
those guns were pumping. I was just like, man, that and the pants were kind of loose in a way that just kind of hung off of his butt. That
You know what you did? You know what you did? You put on you put on hair goggles and hair looks okay, so you went to the rest of it. That's what happened.
I'm not thinking about the hair. That's why, you know me, I don't care if a guy goes bald. I'm not worried about what's going on your hair.
I goes, I just want it to look natural. I have a problem with unnatural hair. I don't care if someone's bald. I don't care. I just, all of the hair was unnatural and weird. It's like that lady's feet at the beginning of Titanic when I was forced to watch old people feet run across the ship. And then the whole movie was ruined for me because I had feet flashbacks. If there's two things that I hate about movies, it's bad hair and bad feet, and old people feet are the first offense. Terrible. Anyway, yes, Captain America was stacked and awesome, looking really cut, looking really good. Hair was terrible.
Oh my god, you're a funny person. Okay, so because of how, I guess, mediocre I felt the Captain America movie is, I know, guys, just don't write me about that. We've already been through this. But I wasn't as excited about it as I wanted to be. But after seeing Avengers twice, I kind of fell in love with this character a little bit, and I kind of understood where he was coming from. He's just supposed to be, like, they said it in the Captain America movie, he's just supposed to be a good, wholesome guy who, you know, is kind of honorable, you know, all-American, does the right thing, is a great leader. They say that in the movie. They try to, you know, write a picture of it. But in the Avengers movie, they made it real. You know, they really got you in the head of he's going to self-sacrifice. Like, he's almost self-sacrificed himself with the bomb in the people in the bank or whatever. Like, the bomb went off on his shield and it almost killed him as he, like, was flying out of the window and he was kind of shaken up about it. And I was really impressed about that. And he was going head-to-head with Tony Stark, arguing with him.
Oh, my God. Those were some of the best scenes.
Yeah, he really,
when they're all fighting each other, yeah. That was so great.
Oh yes, and his entrance with Thor and Iron Man. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I loved every moment of that. So, okay, the last time you and I talked, we just kind of went meta into the Hunger Games. Like, we just ripped that one a new one. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, I gotta dial that back. Next time I
were we that negative?
Well, I was. And I remember, okay, so the reason why I'm bringing that up is I am unfamiliar with a lot of these people's origin stories, or at least it's murky. Like, I may have learned it through osmosis just because I don't live under a rock. But I wanted to say that what they really succeeded at was they didn't delve into all these backstories, but they really got across who the characters are, what they believe in, and their mannerisms, you know, and what they can bring to the team. And I thought that was done so well. And that's an example of leaving quite a bit out of the story or of the movie, but actually successfully getting the message across. And that's kind of where I felt that Hunger Games failed. So this movie, I don't know much about, I didn't know anything about Hawkeye or the Black Widow. I knew nothing about them. I have a vague idea that Samuel L. Jackson's character is in a comic book somewhere, but I'm not sure. And but that didn't matter to me because as a team, as an ensemble, they worked so well together. I knew enough about their character to be able to move the story along. And I thought, good job. Yeah. Good job.
They really educated the audience on that. So I'm glad they did. And you don't have to know anything. And I don't. And I don't know why I'm so excited about superhero movies because I don't read the comic books. But for some reason, them in movies excite me. And I always look forward to it. So, yeah, I think, like you said, when I was talking about Captain America and they did a really good job here as opposed to his own movie, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. So they really did, they did a good, everybody can enjoy this and everybody can get the message.
Right. And it wasn't just the Iron Man show and it wasn't just Captain America show. Everybody had really good roles in the movie and they had really good contributions. Everybody had funny lines. Everybody had those
great moments. It takes talent to balance that type of thing.
Yeah. And it takes a big fan of the genre. Like, you could tell Joss is a fan too. So it was lovingly done. Yeah. I think, like, so it was an action movie and it was so much for my eyes to take in. Like, seriously, they were burning after I saw that. I imagine that's kind of how Transformers is. I think I only saw the first Transformers movie, but like, I remember that was just so much information to take in at once, like visual information to take in. But this movie, it paced that really well.
Yeah.
There wasn't this stupid love story subplot and everybody kicked ass and they had trouble getting along initially but they kind of just pulled it out at the end and worked together as a team. And I really loved it. I loved that it felt like an action movie, but it felt like an action movie that I wanted to see. So instead of crappy, cheesy lines.
Right, and it didn't insult your intelligence. I did not feel insulted.
No, it didn't. It wasn't like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Van Damme saying some. Instead, every single line that was, you know, at the point of cheese, every single line was really funny and really witty, and I laughed my ass off. It was perfect. The comedy pitch perfect.
I love when Iron Man looks over to Loki and called him Reindeer Games.
That's
so funny. So funny.
I so loved funny. It when he went past Thor and he called him Point Break.
What does that mean? Because I don't think I've seen that movie.
Oh, it's just like a spinning image of Patrick Swayze's back. Oh my god, it was so perfect. That was great.
I love the guy that gives everybody nicknames. That's just that guy that's annoying as hell.
Oh, I know. But you know, he got a beat down too. I mean, Thor beat his ass.
He did. He was giving him an ass kicking. And he was like, don't blah blah, metal man. And I was just like, wow, it's about to go down. It's about to go down.
That is like cape or robe or something like that. Like, I thought, oh my gosh, Kat's watching this and loving everybody.
I know. He said something about, he did a Shakespeare quote that I can't quite get at right now in my brain, but he was like something about, did your mother know you were wearing the drapes or something? Did you just say that?
What?
Did you just say that? Did I just repeat what you just said?
Well, no, I mean,
Sorry.
I sort of said it, but I couldn't remember.
Oh, okay. I was like, it's like, I'm talking and now I think I just remember you saying, okay, whatever.
Yep.
But that was really great to me. Thor, I think you really should see that movie. That's one for me, you know, I'm selfish in saying this, but I really love Thor, the movie. I love Thor, the character. I really miss the blonde beefcake action hero from the 80s. I miss that guy. Because, like, all the guys are kind of, they're not that big. They're all brunette, buzz cut, blah, blah. But we have the long, coat-haired Conan-looking, Hercules-looking, Dolph Lundgren-looking guy. And you get that with Chris Hemsworth. And I really enjoy that about his character. And I'm absolutely in love, girl. I love this guy.
I did too. I was really proud of myself because I knew a little bit more about Thor than everybody else, even though I hadn't seen the movies, because of the series that's on Netflix. It's like Thor as a teenager or something, where he and Loki are still on the same side or whatever. So
what is that called?
I don't even know.
Is it Thor a cartoon?
Something. Yeah, it's a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
It's good. It's really good, though. so I was like, okay, I know who that is. I know that's his brother. I know Thor's coming.
I don't know. I just, he right now is my favorite Avenger. I just absolutely enjoy his movie, and I think you have to watch it. I don't know
Okay.
how you missed it, but it is such
Okay.
a it's a goofball story, and you'll just fall in love with him because he's, he does the self-deprecating, well, more slapstick kind of humor where he's getting hit all the time, and
Oh,
there's
yeah.
just a lot of stupid humor of like a god actually coming to Earth and trying to fit in and stuff like that, and he doesn't know it's like not really a thing to walk around with your shirt off. So he does that and he's
Nice.
like all
And you were like, yeah.
bulging. And I was like, I can rewind that part every time.
You were
I
like,
think
yes, that's how we do it on Earth. You walk around without any shirt.
you don't need that shirt, sir. And so I think that was like the wallpaper on my phone for like 3 months. And it was, I don't know. I really enjoy his character.
I partook in that too. Like, seriously, on it's called Google Images.
Yeah. I love it, and it's just, I really miss that just that blonde superhero guy that's just supposed to be like Captain America. I thought it was going to be that, but something about him, I don't know what it is, he just doesn't cut it in his own movie. He doesn't get to the same place Thor got in his own movie.
I just don't think of him as this blockbuster movie guy. I think maybe I was envisioning someone else in that role.
For Captain America,
Yeah. I don't know who, but I mean, obviously he's got the right resume for it. Possible
if you know what we mean.
he was American in the title, so I guess those are the two credentials. But yeah. Anyway, the most surprising Avenger for me was Scarlett Johansson's one,
Yes.
Black Widow. Like, I went into that movie thinking, she's gonna be the token woman, and she's not gonna have much of a role. She's just gonna be in that cat suit looking sexy. But she had a lot of.
My God, I'm in love with her too, like total girl crush right now.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
That chair scene.
So good in that movie. Yeah, she's like, I'm in the middle of an interrogation.
He's giving me everything. And I was just like, well, what is she going on about? And then she's like, well, let me put you on hold. And then she like took out five guys, hung one by a chain, and she was just, I mean, I was like, that beats the Jason Statham chair escape scene. Because I love the way she uses her weight as a weapon. She will
Yeah.
wrap her leg around your head and then use the momentum to take you down. And then she does all this and all that. And she's hanging out with gods,
Right.
enhanced guys, metal men, green monsters, and she's just her. That's
Right,
exciting.
and she's holding her own. I
Yeah.
was afraid that she wouldn't be able to hold her own, but well, and almost like Hawkeye too, because I didn't know anything about his character, and I'm like, okay, dude who can shoot a bow and arrow.
Yeah, way to go, Katniss.
Right. Yeah. I was kind of like a remnant. He kind of looks like Nathan Fillion, sort of. So,
Yeah.
but that's, I was
I
like,
still wasn't excited about him. Like, because literally in the beginning of the movie, we didn't get to really know him. He got kidnapped or possessed by Loki. So, we, like, for half of the movie, we still didn't get to really meet him.
no, we didn't. But I'm glad he. Oh God, what did he say? Clench up. What did Iron Man say to Hawkeye? Was it Iron Man? Oh God, when he said like, clench up, Legolas.
Oh yeah. That was him. He said Legolas.
Oh my
That was
freaking God,
hilarious.
I just about lost it.
That was hilarious, yeah.
Oh my God, clench up, Legolas. That
That, yeah. That it just
I mean, it's lines like that where it's like, oh my, people like Michael Bay needs to be taking notes. Take notes. Please make the dialogue this enjoyable,
Well,
please.
Joss Whedon has always been a master with dialogue. He knows how to make dialogue. Buffy was like, you couldn't, everything that was out of their mouth was quick-witted, and everything
Right.
meant something, and it was just one line after another, and it was just always funny. Same with Firefly. And Cabin in the Woods was even good, and it's just like you can
Oh,
always
yes.
expect great dialogue when Joss Whedon is involved. And so to see that that carried over to the Avengers, and it wasn't just cheese balls, sayings and catchphrases, I was very
Right.
impressed with that.
Right. Oh, and then, but it wasn't just the dialogue. I mean, he had a lot of great action sequences as well. Like those cool alien like worms ship things
We
were
call those hail whales.
hell wells.
Like Twitter's fail whale, but a hail whale.
Like that.
Okay.
Yes.
I
Indeed.
think Carl came up with that. Yeah.
When those came on the scene, I was just like, oh my God, I'm all about this movie right now. And
They're
oh,
so
okay, so
big and threatening, and like, what do you do with that
well,
thing?
and they're alive too, apparently. They're like part machine,
Oh,
part living
yeah.
monster.
But you say, what do you do with that? And then Hulk and Thor showed us. You like beat them down and then ride their head into the middle of a Grand Central Station
Yeah,
and
you
stand
just
on it.
Dune it. That, you know what it was? It was Dune. Some dude on a sand little guitar solo in the background, like riding that thing to Grand Central Station.
Oh yeah.
It was
So
good.
in
My favorite part was when, well, I have two favorite parts, and they both involve the Hulk. Was when Loki was like gets shoved or pushed around and then like back, 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 back. That was my favorite part. And then my second favorite part was when the Hulk's like mashing things and then he just out of the blue punched was it Captain
It
America
was
or was
Thor.
Thor?
Yeah, that's
Thor.
after they rode the hell whale into the Grand Central Station. They were standing on it, all impressed with themselves. And Thor looked over him, nodded, and then Hulk just like.
Much fun in that movie. So much fun.
That's how Thor is in his movie. He just kind of knocked around a lot, and it's just weird. Like, you're a god for fuck's sake. You just.
Yeah, you're a demigod. What's
Yeah,
going on?
what's going on? Why are you? This is like some slapstick stuff, but it works. It
Yeah.
works. Because it makes him kind of humble and accessible and not just like, I am a god.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and you know who got shook up in the same way was Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Like he was humbled in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
So he.
kind of don't understand how the Hulk finally, the only thing that I was kind of unclear on was how the Hulk finally was able to control the
I
other
asked the same question in The Last Avengers, and what they told me was, if you look closely, when Loki walks into the lab and he locks eyes with the Hulk, he somehow did something. The Hulk grabbed his head like he got a little headache or something that quick. And then what it was, when Natasha was interrogating him, it became clear that he was manipulating the Hulk's anger in some sort of way. Not only that, when the ship that they were on, or what do you get the whatever it's called that they were on, the floaty thing, when it started exploding and stuff, he got hit in the head also. So not only was Loki manipulating him, he got hit in the head and he just lost control and died.
okay, well, that's as good enough an explanation. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't quite catch that. Maybe it's because I was just oohing and aahing over all
I
the
didn't catch
newer.
it at first either. It was only the second time that I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, there's when Loki did the thing with Hulk. Okay, that's when he got hit in the head. Okay, so now it makes
Okay.
more sense after you. Because, like, the first time you see it, you're just overwhelmed with all the crap that's going on, that you miss
Yeah.
certain things. So, I mean, if you
How
see it again.
cool was the like navy floaty ship?
What is that called? That's called a grenade, not a grenade launcher, because that's ridiculous.
An aircraft carrier?
Eric, thank you, God. Aircraft carrier. Sometimes I just can't get at the words.
It looked like? It looked like one of those ships in Super Mario Brothers 3 where you have to like go through and it's the never-ending ship with weird screws everywhere and cannons.
Really a fan of that show. I mean, that game. And I'm sure somebody that did play that thinks hilarious.
All it needed was those cool mirrors, but it was floating in the clouds.
What it reminded
Anyway.
me of was Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, because
Oh, I never saw that.
it was decent. It
Okay.
was actually pretty much on par with Captain America. So, one of those nights when you're like, don't have anything to do, and you're like, hey, I'm feeling,
I
experimental.
don't trust you right now.
Oh,
Issues.
no. What case did I tell you that the movie that shall not be named was good? I did not tell you it was good. I told you it was horrible, and I didn't know why it
What shall we call it? Voldemort? Like, literally, that was.
well,
Ugh, I have trust issues.
which bad thing that I recommend talking about?
Yeah, there were a couple, but we decided not to talk about the one to protect the innocent.
Okay. No, let's finish up with Avengers.
Along. Yeah, the
Get it out of
Avengers.
your system because I want you to trust me again.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to deserve that trust. See Avengers again. That should make you trust me. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll see that again, actually. I'll
So,
be buying that and John Carter. Hopefully it'll make maximum
there you
money.
go. I partially recommend Battleship. Just depends on your
Oh, you saw Battleship already?
Yes, girl, and I am all over it. I love that movie, but I
Wait.
think it's to everybody's taste. Like, if you're not a Transformers ID4 fan, then I don't suggest you see it because that's just not something.
A minute. How can you like that movie and not Battle LA or whatever that one
Battle
was?
LA, Battle colon LA was not as much fun as Battleship. Battleship was fun. Did you like Independence Day?
I
It was
did.
unlike Independence Day, whereas Battle colon LA was not fun.
I guess it was cool though. Anyway, we're going way back for that
It's
one.
a different type. It's
Well,
like
when I saw Battleship, I was like, oh, it's just Battle colon Los Angeles.
But see, you think that, but it's not. You get to see more aliens. You get to just, it's more of everything. And I don't know. I
Okay.
liked it. It's one of the, I would suggest you rent it because I don't really want any of your anger coming my way anymore. And if
I'm in a zen period right now. It's not anger anymore. It's transcended to like, what the
Oh, okay. We'll because people are like, what are they talking about? This is ridiculous.
Oh, we're teasing them. We're teasing.
Yeah, it's a teaser till what we talk about. Anyway, so
Tune in next week. Just kidding.
yeah. I mean, I think Hawkeye was the weakest to me because we just really didn't get to know him a lot. We will get to know him because he's the new Jason Bourne. So that's going to be awesome. But I mean, if we want to like twist our minds and like that's his origin story for Hawkeye, then yeah,
I
do
want there
that.
to be Hawkeye Black Widow movie.
I'm just not
I
sure if that would be strong enough for me. Like if it was like Black Eye, I mean,
Black
excuse me. Woo, loud and wrong. Okay, if it was a Black Widow, Hawkeye, and an Agent Coulson movie.
relationship would be called Black Eye.
Children. Okay, Hawk Widow. Anyway,
If they had children.
if it was Hawkeye, Black Widow, and Agent Coulson, then I'd watch it with
Who's
Nick
Agent
Fury.
Coulson?
Seriously. Guy that died for the team.
Oh, the guy.
He was like the man
I
crush
liked that
on.
guy. And what was with Samuel L. Jackson like? Manipulating and putting the cards in his pocket and stuff. Wait, are we not talking about that guy?
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're talking about that guy. What I'm
There
saying
was
is,
silence. You were like, no, not that guy, the
yeah,
other guy.
that guy. No, I was holding back a speculation, which could be a spoiler about
Oh.
that guy. And I didn't know. I was like trying to decide in my silence.
Wait, did he die?
He died.
Oh. Is
Right?
there the
You saw him die, right?
Well, yeah, I
So
saw him die.
the thing is that they, I did know, so you might as you're gonna know it anyway. You're part of Sci-Fi Party Line, you have to know. There's this thing called a life model decoy that they send in, and so he may not be dead.
That is wrong.
But
Uber manipulation.
what it is nobody knows about that. And I didn't know about it because, of course, I don't read the comic book, so
What? That is horrible.
but
I
I
take
don't know
back
because I was
all of the tears that I cried for the for what's his name?
Agent Coulson, Phil.
Oh yeah, Phil.
Like Phil Collins.
He has a na he has a first name. Why are you calling him Phil?
Phil
Yeah.
Agent. Anyway, yeah, so he might be back. See, the reason why I stayed to see the scenes afterward, because I thought they were gonna have him on like a hospital bed in some weird backwoods lab, secret lab, and they were gonna be fixing him up or something, but no, we got shawarma.
Shawarma.
Did you watch the end of the movie?
I
Did you
think
didn't say to me? Well, they were sitting in the restaurant eating shawarma, which is the little pita things they were
Okay.
eating at the restaurant.
Remind me, I say it at the end, but I don't remember this part. Go on, remind me.
Well, they were at a restaurant eating. That's all they did was sit around and eat. They didn't even say anything. That was at the very,
Who?
very end. Because there was like an end with Thanos and this guy, Muh-ha-ha, the Earth.
Oh
That was one ending, but then there was another ending. Yes, you didn't stay for that. But it's fine because all they did, because when Tony Stark fell from the black hole all the way down to Earth, captured by Hulk, and he was on his back, and then he was like, oh, he's not breathing, he's not alive. And then Hulk was like, rawr. And then he came back, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, we got to go do this. And he's like, well, can we go eat shawarma after? And he was like, well, we got to go do this. And it's like, well, then after that, let's go do shawarma. And then, so that's what I'm saying. And then that's what they did at the very end. It's like, they literally sat at a table eating shawarma and did not say a word. And so we just and sat there and watched.
That
Yeah.
is awesome. Thank you, Joss. Thank you, Joss Whedon.
I was kind of upset. I wanted to see if Agent Coulson was going to be like the Terminator and he had like a bionic arm with the I don't know. I wanted something.
Maybe he'll come back. Maybe
Yeah,
he'll
we don't
return.
know because I was pissed because there's always that little character that gets inside of you that Joss Whedon kills off. And I was like, this is Wash all over again.
Oh no. Let's not go there.
That's what it felt like. It
That's a
like
dark
Wash all
place in my life.
that what
Wash dying.
that pissed me off. That pissed me off where it's like, well, we just can't have any more Firefly movies because we can't do it without Wash. I don't want to do it without the whole world is wrong. Book is gone. No.
What is that?
So
Sorry.
I was mad. I was pissed for Agent Coulson, but they called me. They pulled me, the knife out
Pulled
of
you
my hand.
in.
No. They pulled the knife out of my hand that was going to like stab Joss Whedon for killing
Stab me.
another damn character that he didn't wasn't bothering anybody. He was just doing his own thing. He had made it through the hard part, and then boom, Loki with his stupid hair.
Okay, seriously, imagine Ronald McDonald with a receding hairline, but with the same girly woman hair, and then also dye his hair black and like sprinkle a little, like a little bit of Oprah hair in the mix, and you've got Loki. It's like 95% Ronald
Ronald
McDonald
McDonald,
hair.
yeah, and 5% Oprah.
No, 2%
2%
Oprah
Oprah.
and 3% black hair dye.
Oh, so the hair dye has its own personality in this. Okay. Yeah.
It does for me and my
I know
hair.
you hated Thor's hair, but I just loved it. I could tell it was straight up extensions.
Oh, she
Right,
was
but I
like,
didn't care. It looked all
oh
wild
boy.
and man, like I
You know
liked
what?
it.
No.
I liked it when he first appeared into the helicopter and he like punched Tony Stark and then grabbed Loki and they went to the cliff. I liked
Yeah,
it
that
'cause it was
was
all
awesome.
wild. But when he was like in the office and they were all talking, and he was like, "Humans are so petty and
Yeah.
tiny," and then he had it like behind his ear. I didn't really like that much. But then I was like not looking at his hair, I was looking at his arms because I was like, oh my God, he is like bulging those guns. Like, flinch him, flinch him. He kept flinching and I was like, thank you, thank you. Oh.
Point Break was so funny because he had Point Break hair. Like, that's why that line was so hilarious.
Maybe I've
He
seen.
had.
Was that in
What
the
happened?
80s? Was 80 was Point Break in the 80s?
No, it was in the 90s, I think.
Oh.
Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze as surfer robbers, bank robbers.
What?
Yeah, skydiving surfer bank robbers.
I gotta Google that because I don't.
In the 90s. So no, you know what that hair was? That hair was like Britney Spears shaved her hair off with the weave, and they saved it for Thor's head. That's what it
Patrick
was.
Swayze's hair here is shorter than Thor's.
Oh my God, are we being semantic? Are we doing semantics right now? That Patrick
Seriously.
Swayze's hair is Point Break. Okay.
You hate me right now.
is on.
But you think that, like,
Look up Britney Spears weave. Ah, no. Oh, it's on. I just found Thor's hair right here. I'm
just
sending
through
you the link.
Skype. Send it,
I
dear.
am
This is
Skyping it to you right now.
such terrible radio right now.
Here, let me explain, listeners at home.
I don't see the link.
Cat's getting served a nice hot plate of Patrick Swayze.
Okay, guys, I want you to look down right now at your iPod. We have Point Break Patrick Swayze hair as the photo for
And
the
then some. Like later, I will look up Britney Spears' weave on the floor and we will see if that's also Thor's hair.
Oh, almighty Thor. Anyway, there was just a lot of, like, you can kind of get distracted with this film, like, because
Was good.
it's just so much to look at. It was well done. The it was so pretty to look at. Like, really, the costumes were so great. I love Thor's costume. My second favorite costume has to be Captain America.
Yeah, I have to say that I like that too.
You like that? Because I was just looking at a lot of the seams. I know this gets really deep for some people, but a lot of the seams and the fabric itself, it was just like the fabric that they use for the Star Trek costumes in the latest movie. I think it was
Yeah,
the
that
same
like
exact.
suit, man suit.
It's just that same texture that they were using, that where you think it's kind of flat, but when you really get up on it and you really look at it, it's kind of raised bumps or something like that, and it kind of feel it looks really sturdy, but good enough for a costume. And it kind of looks like tights and stuff, but it still had that manly edge to it. The captain's costume, I mean, yeah, it still kind of looked, like nobody wants to walk around.
Oh my God, when Captain America was trying to like take control of the scene, like the pandemonium that was going on the street, and he's like ordering this policeman around and or the police captain around trying to tell him what to do, and he's like, "Why should I take orders from you?"
That was
That
so
was such a
great.
good one. I
That
loved
was
that.
good. Yeah. And he
Yeah.
showed him why.
Exactly. And he did. What now? Yep. I liked ScarJo's, I liked her costume as well, or her outfit, uniform.
I really liked the way it sat, the belt sat on her waist, and then like it made the pants high-waisted in a way that you really don't see women wear pants anymore, high-waisted pants with no pockets. So it
Right.
kind of make her butt look really good in that, like
Oh
just
my
like
God, her butt was its own character in that movie.
there's this picture of like Thor and Tony Stark or one of them just like staring at her ass on set. Yeah, there's just like some ridiculous set photo or something, and it's like they were just looking at her ass. But I was just like, wow, I want my butt to look like that in a cat suit.
I know, me too. I want my butt to have its own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like, seriously, that butt should get an Oscar. It was amazing. It was
Her
really
hair
good
on the
tattoo.
other hand, I did not care for.
Eh, what are you gonna
Because like it was like one part, it was curled, right? But some of the curls were higher than the other curls and they didn't fall, bounce right or something. I don't know what
It's been about hair.
the This is the girl show. We can talk
It's
about hair. Her hair just really it wasn't right.
You know what? I don't really remember her hair because Captain America's hair was so egregious.
I don't remember anything being wrong with Captain America's hair.
Plugs in the front, like Elton John's plugs. It was bad.
I really don't know what you're talking. You're gonna have to show me a picture, because I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Anyway. I don't remember her hair. I remember that I really liked her character a lot and
Yes.
wanted I want to see her feature movie though.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I thought her character was cool. I want to see her with somebody else. Obviously, I mean, I don't know what her comic book is like. Like, I don't know that I would read that. But I would see her in a movie with maybe the Hulk. Like, I liked when Hulk was hulking out and she was the only one there and her leg was caught under some debris or whatever. And she was having a moment with him, you know? And I don't know. She was calm under pressure. Am I just talking to myself now?
No. I agree with you. I enjoy that. It's just that I can't really, well, to be fair, I didn't really see me being impressed with an Iron Man film either. So I'm just gonna, if they do it, I'll go see it. But it better be good because like Iron Man broke out every gadget possible and I fell
Right.
in love with him and it was just beautiful and shiny in every way that I enjoyed. Thor, on the other hand, did not have the gadgets, but he, is a big beefcake guy. You fall in love with him. Natalie Portman in it was awesome.
Well,
So
he had that hammer, though. I mean,
I thought the hammer was going to be stupid, but I kind of like what his
I did too.
Mjolnir or however you pronounce it. And
Whatever.
I thought at first when they said it until I saw it spelled out that he was saying meow meow, and I was like, what the
Meow. Oh, that's such a different movie. Like,
why is his hammer named Meow Meow? So
it's like amateur porn. Oh my God.
God. Anyway, so it's still, I don't know, that's a weird name for a hammer and it's hard for me
Meow meow, yes.
to
I'm this, we must agree.
go But all I'm saying is I like that. I like the hammer. I thought the hammer was going to be stupid. It wasn't. It's not stupid. I like that he can fly with it. I am really still glad that they did not use his helmet because Loki used his helmet and he looks like a tool.
Oh my God, that was so toolish. That guy was so tooly. Oh my God, it was so terrible, and it would only like holodeck in, you know, like he could only use it on the holodeck.
What are we doing with you, Lucky? I don't understand what's happening. Why? Because I think you say he looks like Ronald McDonald. I think he looks like an evil Pee Wee Herman.
No, it's like Ronald McDonald gave him a hair transplant.
Oh, he look so he has the hair transplant of Ronald McDonald with 3% hope or 3% black hair dye for
Yes.
Pee Wee Herman.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where they had the hair transplant for Homer, and it was the psychopath or the prison guy, Snake, and like Homer started doing bad things. Ronald McDonald is pure evil, and his hair transplant onto Loki then made Loki pure evil. That's what it is.
Because he's a clown.
Yes!
Yeah, I see
Yes.
it. I see it. I see it. I'm
Well, and
right
Homer
there with
the
you.
guy was such a freaking clown in the whole movie, tool clown, which is Ronald McDonald is a tool clown.
That's Wow, this review is epic. Let's make this review. Do you have anything more to say about the Avengers? I mean, we can just like stroke it for an hour. That's weird.
Fans will like that.
You know what?
Male
I've
fans.
been saying some really terrible things on this podcast, and like
Even
before it came out of my mouth, I did not intend it that way. Like the last episode, I was like, you know what? Battleship is like that guy you meet on spring break that you just want to have a one-night stand with. I said that, and I was just like, what are you saying? You've never done that. Why do you?
Leave it in. That's where all your male fans just went swing. Like, stop it.
Grab your lotion, fellas. No, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm gonna stop with it.
I'm ready to leave the Avengers, but I will say I loved watching all the mashing. I loved watching all of the destruction of New York. It was cool.
Yeah. Though I liked it, I am a little tired of seeing New York destroyed. Like, let's destroy someplace else.
The only problem is, I mean, when you move outside the city, it's like you see a field destroyed, or
yeah, you're right.
You see a strip mall destroyed, and you're like, okay, well, they're just gonna build their barrows or whatever.
Well, they did it well in Thor. They didn't go to New York and tear shit up. They was tearing up a small town. It was still impressive.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, I like small towns.
Bring it to Ithaca. Bring it to Ithaca, son. Let's tear it up.
Yeah, they got enough mountains to jump around, hop around on.
Oh, yeah. This is what Stephanie and I have been talking about since the beginning of the episode is the punishment slash education that I've given her is that I assigned for her to watch Birdemic.
Oh, yes, you did. Shame.
If any of you've seen that, like if you haven't seen it, don't do it. I'm serious. It's not the type of movie that's like, oh, this is so bad that it's good. No, it's so bad that it's bad.
No.
And I wanted her to just experience some of the misery that I've been holding on to by myself for a long time. And I was like, you know, it's time. It's time for to let her see that.
I hate Stephanie's guts, and it is time.
I don't know. But I wanted to, you know, like when you go through like an apocalyptic scenario with someone, you become closer. That's
oh
like
my God. You want to know the phrase that I just uttered the most throughout the whole movie was like, is this really happening? Is this actually happening? Is this streaming on Netflix?
So, full title is Birdemic Shock and Terror.
Oh,
and
God.
It's, of course, about infected birds attacking citizens of the United States.
Is that what it was about?
Oh, that's not what it was about?
I thought it was about global warming and how horrible humans are. Like, birds aren't the problem. Humans are the problem.
Oh, yeah. That's the hippie later on in the movie because he explained the whole thing because he was.
Later on. Okay. Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
Where to start with how bad this is? First of all, they spent 10 minutes of the first part of the movie just driving around in a car.
They spent, and not only that, but they had this like stupid soundtrack thing on a loop that was like a lilting little do 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 do, and then it would be like 2 seconds later do 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 do. Same freaking thing.
And they were just driving, and it
for
was
10 minutes.
It was like,
he got gas, and then he walked around. This was like watching the wardrobe from Circuit City and Office Depot, Olive Garden, all wrapped up in this one guy's khaki pants and his polo shirt, walking around town, mouth breathing it up, like going to the diner. Oh my God, the worst.
Oh God. And then he like meets some girl from school and she's a Victoria's Secret.
She's a fashion model.
Model. And she's like modeling at some strip center.
Strip mall. She's
Fox 1 hour photo place or something. It just does not look like a modeling agency.
And there's no irony at all.
It's not.
Just there, a Victoria's Secret model. She's like dead eyes looking at this Sears photographer.
It was a Sears. It was so terrible. They had some sort of board meeting in some sort of office or whatever, and which made no sense, and he was supposed to make $1 million, right? Didn't he get a car or something, a new car? Or...
He is a sales guy.
Oh, he's sales.
He makes a big sale, which is the most convincing line in the whole movie. It's like this, it's like a training video for sales, and that's the most authentic line in the movie. He makes this big $1 million sale. And then he goes, I'm going to retire early. And then he goes to his fashion model girlfriend that he just met on the street from a diner. Oh my God. Okay. I'm so sorry. This is so funny. And all the while, there's this like horrible sound quality. Like, you can't. There's no continuity in the scene because...
I don't know if she's laughing or crying if it was so bad, guys.
It was so bad because they're talking and the camera always only focuses on one face at a time. And literally it's like different sound from different like points of view. It's so sad. It's like all this background noise. And it took 50 minutes to get to the actual story, like the actual terror movie part. Oh.
Well, that's not it, because then we had to watch her like roommate make out with her boyfriend in her shirt that was like trying to
save. Imagine, what did it say?
It was something about pollution or saving the earth, and she was just like, yeah, she was trying to sell us on saving the earth with her stupid t-shirt and making out her boyfriend in a crappy hotel.
Oh, she was in a bikini. Like, presumably because she didn't want to get herpes. Like, she was in a bikini. No, that was the friend that was like the obvious sex hound dog friend or whatever, who was like, you know what's great? Sex. You know what else is great? Sex on like on a really big muscle car.
Yeah.
It was so stereotypical. And then the news lady, do you remember the news broadcast lady?
What did she do?
She was trying to tell us about global warming problems. This is not the movie kind of like taking from other movies, so like to try and capture the newscast and tell us a little bit more background information. And so he's sitting there watching the news in his condo in his early retirement.
Wasn't he getting sunroof installed and all types of shit? Like,
he was, oh, I can't even.
Yeah, he was like getting sunroof installed and going about his life.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. This is really hard to tell you guys about this movie. And I know it's a rough, like trying to listen through our screams and yells about
what this is.
But it's because I keep cracking up and it's hard to kind of keep it on track here. But at this point, I think it's about 40 minutes into the movie and still nothing has happened. I mean, we're getting sunroofs, like we're saying, for our houses. We're going to meetings.
Their romance is blossoming.
They go to the mom's house, and he meets her mom like 2 days after they met or whatever, and her mom is like three times the size of the model, and
her
it's
mom
just
is
like
her grandma.
Yeah, it's like her grandma, and she's like 500 pounds, which was weird. It's like, you know, I'm not a person to make in front of, but it just seems so different from her.
No.
I'm a tiny supermodel, and then, oh, look at my mom, she's like 800 pounds. It's just like, that doesn't make any sense, but you know,
I know. Then, you know, that guy was thinking, damn, oh god, this is what I get to look forward to.
Who knows. Then I think before we get to the bird action, they went to this diner where there was this black guy that was singing.
I was just hanging out
with my family. It was just so weird. They was at like a soul food kitchen or something, and that literally was the song that I just sung. That was it. That was
with
the
little
song.
Bit of slow rapping, like cannot forget. The slow rap, like the skip rap, and they're,
I don't know, and
two of them are dancing and they're the only ones there, and she's trying to do like this choppy chop ninja robot. I don't know what's happening.
It was terrible. Like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Because I was actually forced to watch it to review, and then I thought, you know, Stephanie needs this. I thought it would be funny to you, like, just like, how can something be so miserable? How does this happen?
Is this really happening?
It really happened, and you just can't understand how.
Just the cat's not telling you is all throughout this 40 minutes of basically following these two people around on this crazy subplot of love. throughout the movie, there are these little hints of, well, the environment is going to shit, and look at this dead bird on the coast, and, oh, well, you should get solar panels and do green technology, and all this stuff, okay? That was leading up to the big reveal of Windows 95 screensaver birds, like Stephen Colbert's eagle.
Ah,
a freaking part in this movie. That's all. I thought was the attack of Stephen Colbert's eagle.
If you want to see the worst effects in modern times, watch Birdemic. The birds, they were like the same birds hovering. Caw, caw. I think they were literally saying caw, caw. And they were like the same bird, just like copied three times, flying. And then you'd shoot them because they shot at them. And then they kind of explode weirdly in a very unnatural way.
We dive bomb into buildings and explode!
It's fire!
Fireballs like that.
Fire!
No,
hot water! And because the environment is messed up. These birds are getting aggressive, and that means when they burn when upon contact. Like, really? No. That's not a premise for a freaking movie. It's
so they have the sex. There was sexy time, but they still are in their clothes by the time the birds attack.
At a hotel.
At a nasty hotel.
Very skanky hotel.
It was so nasty. And then they run into... this is the part that I was unclear. I don't understand how they made friends with two other young people in the skanky hotel with machine guns. The guy in the van, Becky and Skeeter, or whatever his name was. What was his name?
I don't remember. I've watched it like months ago.
Okay,
but
whatever.
They made friends with random people and they started like protecting each other and looking out.
But they have like fatigues and machine guns in this hotel in their little love nest getaway. There's like a van and machine guns.
And
they start shooting.
And let me tell you about the bullets that came out of these guns. They were not real. They held the guns and waited for people to animate the bullets that came out. And when they hit the birds, it was like liquid bullets or something. And then it was like fake fire coming out of the guns as the guns were being shot. And it was just like, why would you just do with that? Why would you bother with that? Would you do that? Who no, does this type no, of no. shit? Why would you do it? Why? Why?
No, do you remember when they first got out of the hotel together? Like, they decided to get some hangers. Do you remember this? When they hangers batting at the computer animated birds with these hangers, but they're not like in a line or anything. They're back to back to back to back because that's somehow safer.
I forgot about that.
With these hotel hangers,
and it was terrible. Like, what? Why would you do that?
So they get in the car, and suddenly they have machine guns.
And it's not cool. Like, and then they like on the side of the road picking like carcasses and stuff. They pick up two kids. Because, like, apparently at some point, like, they go to a store, but then there's a double-decker bus, and then the people that they were traveling with, one of the guys die, and then, like, the other lady turns and go takes a crap in the field, and is like, where is my chick? She's taking a shit. That was literally in the movie. That was literally in the movie. And as she was relieving herself, she got attacked by the fake birds and died. And it was just like, why? Who?
She shot that chick like 5 times and nobody came. Like, they're just sitting in the van when she comes running back saying that Becky died or whatever. And they're like, what? Oh, wow. And then they go right after. Oh, that lady shot that poor girl 5 times. Oh.
It was
no, sad. No. The part where they're at the double-decker bus.
That was...
Mike and when they were saying, come on, let's get out of here. And all the people were like, no. And they're pulling these people out of the bus. And then the birds come and have this nuclear shit.
Yeah. Oh.
That was never explained. Just like random bird shit that burned everything.
That was just why
everyone's face, and then they left.
And after all those people on the bus, they died.
They did. They all died because of the magical bird shit. And then they are hungry, and the annoying children are like, I want McDonald's. Oh my god.
And then, like, so they got food, I think, and they traveled some more, and they got gas ganked by a Texan in a cowboy hat.
With the, like, ninja throat slitting bird.
Yeah, happened. What was that?
The bird just
And then the guy got taken down and he left the gas.
The gas and the gun. And then they take a hot pot to the beach.
No. You're forgetting about the weird guy in the forest.
Oh, yeah. With
trees,
the, like,
living in the trees.
The, like,
because, like, why did they go in the trees in the first place? It's never really explained.
It's never actually. Oh, no. What we're forgetting about is before the girlfriend takes a shit, we're forgetting. The random bird doctor.
Oh,
on the...
yes! That's just like... hanging out on a pier, getting attacked by birds, and they just randomly meet this freaking guy, and he explains the whole movie.
Sort of. He's like, they have bird flu, but that wouldn't have attacked you. Oh. Oh my god. And he does. He talks about how humans are the real beast of this movie or whatever. Not, he didn't say the movie, but of this situation because humans are the ones that are causing global warming and the birds don't know what to do and birds used to attack cavemen and rip out their eyes. So good.
Oh, it was that. Okay, so. Oh, and then did they kill the doctor after, like, they, or did he just walk off, or what happened to, they just leave him?
I'm crying. I don't remember. Oh, no, he said, oh, I don't need to go with you. I've got old Betsy in my jacket, or whatever. He pulls out a gun. Everybody's packing in this movie. What the hell? And then when they get to the tree hugger guy, and they're pointing their guns at him.
I wonder how we sound to anybody that's still listening by now. Like, if you're still listening, I want to know, like, do we sound crazy? This happened. This exists. Okay, tree hugger guy, tree hugger guy.
It's so real. So he's behind a tree in a Morticia Adams discount wig from Rite Aid. And they're pointing their guns at him because they've just been robbed by a Texan guy who got his throat slit by a random ninja bird. And they're there, and he says, "Don't shoot! Peace, man!" That's what he says! And then he has this long speech about the redwoods are dying from some beetle. What the hell? And he lives up in a tree house with his Morticia wig.
And don't, like, when they leave, the bird starts shitting on his home and it sets fire or something?
Oh! That's right! That's for no reason!
Fire like, just because it's like, well, we're just gonna hang out here. And then it was like, oh no, it's time to move the story along. So the birds come along, take a dump on the guy, everything starts burning up, and then so they're back on the road again.
It's like random fire shit. What happened? It is happening right here in San Jose. And then my favorite part of the movie is in addition to the sound and the soundtrack that's kind of like the Beef What's for Dinner soundtrack in the commercials. That's kind of what it's like. It's like Aaron Copland and somebody's MIDI file that they forgot from 1992. And a little bit of The Legend of Zelda. And, like, my... They're pulled off on the side of the road in many scenes in this movie, shooting at birds and screaming, and the traffic in the background is just normal. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh god, they're the only person. They are the only people experiencing this. The whole
they're
thing.
They're the only people, and they are out in the open. I don't know how many times. Like, they keep getting attacked by birds, and it doesn't dawn on a single person to not hang out in the open air.
Like, I don't know, go to your home with your solar panels. That might help. I don't
and
know.
The guy is gonna catch a fish in the ocean. Did you see how choppy
that this is the end right here. So they stop off. The kids are hungry. They decide to go on a picnic in the middle of a bird attack epidemic where birds are shitting fire. And then Stephanie, take over.
He's like, there's this hell waves going on in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, it is seriously not fishing weather. And he takes this fishing pole, he positions it as if he's taken out his wang and is peeing, and he's trying really hard to catch a fish. The other chick and the two children are trying to cook up seaweed, or no.
Yes.
Seaweed. And they bust out this hot pot where you can cook one side of seaweed and one side fish. So he gets this fish that was literally taken out of a package from your local produce section or your local meat section. It's this fish that is still slightly bent from the packaging. And he's like, I caught this! Cool, let's boil it up in the hot pot. And they put it on this stove and they're cooking it, and the annoying urchin children are like, I want McDonald's. And then the birds, Stephen Colbert's eagles, come back. I love that it's eagles, too. There's no other birds. Just mad, fire-shitting eagles are coming after these people in this horrible van. And then I'm unclear, Kat, what happens at the end? Please, I want to get your interpretation of what
the... I don't remember. I thought it just kind of ended.
No. Oh, no.
I forgot. It's been so long because I don't remember anything after the kids ate the kelp and the fish.
So after like five copies of a single eagle, you know, are there screeching at them and sort of getting shot, and traffic is going by and some dude is taking the leisurely stroll on the beach. Then he's like, I want to say they're doves. Like, they sound like doves. They're making the hoo-hoo dove sound. Come in. They're white. And they, like, round up all the murder eagles and turn around and fly off into the Pacific Ocean. Like, what was that?
Did they come pick them up or something? I thought, did they destroy them or did they just, like, herd them off?
No, the doves of peace turned them around and they went flying into the very, very choppy Pacific Ocean. Well, they didn't have the ocean, but they went flying into the horizon. Yes, and there were doves. And that was the end of the movie. They're all standing there watching the magical doves of peace like single-handedly take away this murder eagle menace.
it was astonishing to watch. I mean, I think we've talked about the best movie and then the worst movie. And I don't know what was going on with this guy. Like, why would you make this? Did you not have friends? Did somebody say, you know what, man? No. No. Okay. This guy, whoever made this film, did not have any friends.
Okay, so I wrote notes.
Oh, you haven't read? Okay.
My notes. Let's see here. My notes are... okay. I love the extraordinary soundtrack, sound, and dialogue in Verdammick. It's like a mixture of Copland and an 8th grade mixtape. Not to mention all the beautiful suburban sprawl scenes, which was right! Like, they had 5-minute long scenes of just panning over suburban sprawl for no reason! Do you remember, like,
after... Yes!
They had sexy time, and then in the morning... Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot
about
this crucial scene. They had footsie sex, and that was such a bad idea. Remember the feet.
I'm glad I don't remember it.
They were, like, kissing, and the sound was so bad that you could hear them, like, slurping on each other and stuff. And then the camera pans down to the feet play. And that is when I almost hurled, because I do not like hair, and I do not like bad feet. Okay, let's see. Slightly reminiscent of amateur porn. That was during the sexy time. And then, the dialogue was written by and captured on MIRC. And then, clothing brought to you by that store that would exist if Best Buy and Kmart had a demon spawn. And that was the extent of my notes.
Yeah, because after that, you probably just like, why did Kat suggest that I watch?
Well, I just couldn't believe that it took 40 minutes to get to the terrible special effects.
I've experienced firsthand just the stuff that's out there. It's
the footsie sex. Oh, and then they finally caught up with their horn dog friend. Oh, that's right. So they were going to go on a double date, and it just so happened that his best friend was dating her best friend, and wow, that works out, you know?
Like, yeah.
And it just so happened that now he's a millionaire, and now she's a Victoria's Secret model when she was just taking pictures in a strip mall.
That was
I loved it.
Like,
this
what,
was a how piece did... of amazing. Like, I think I would watch it again. I have not had more fun recapping this movie with you.
See, that's why I did it, because I wanted to hear what was come out of your head on this one.
Oh my god, girl. At first when I saw this, I'm like, what did I do? Yeah, like, what did I do?
No. I think, guys, if you do want to watch this, be sure to watch the Riff Tracks version, because they cut up and they make so much fun. It's like Mystery Science Theater 3000, guys, does Riff Tracks. Try to watch that version. I've watched it because I like watched it regular and I was so offended. Like, I felt like you felt. But then I watched it with Riff Tracks and it was just like they tore this movie apart, and they just sometimes they just got exhausted with how bad the movie was.
Oh, and, girl. It was so bad, but so also good, because it was ironic. There was no hint of irony. The fact that her mother was a 500-pound grandma and wanted her to do real estate instead of modeling. The fact that they were so, the both of them, it was like they were reading their script on a cue card or something.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at all?
Yes. Yes, that guy was bad. He like had the weirdest eyes or something. Like they were dead. Yeah.
And he was reading his lines. Like, he probably had him on the seat behind her or something. Like, he was reading them. It was hilarious. And I mean, you won't be able, listeners at home, you will not be able to know what I'm talking about until you see it, because you can't imagine it. It's something you have to witness. This man is truly just reading his lines on this hot, sexy date with this dude singing, what was it? Something in the family?
Just hanging out with my family, doing it. Doing that, I remember that because I think I rewound it to be sure if it was real or not, because it was so incredibly terrible. Like, seriously, number one, why are you singing in a small restaurant like that? Number two, why are you singing about hanging out with your family, and why are you so freaking excited about it?
He's by himself. By himself, and he's singing, and he has this like.
Oh, he looked like he was like from, like he had on a suit, like he was like a lost member of Earth, Wind, and Fire or something, or like the Pips, the Lost Pip or something. It was terrible. Like, who is this guy? He was like, the family he was talking about was the Isley Brothers, and they kicked his ass out. It was terrible. But I got something for you, Stephanie.
What?
I got something for you. They are now filming Birdemic 2, The Resurrection 3D.
Oh no.
Yes.
I can't. Oh my god. I won't be able to see that movie. I will have poked my eyes out by then. Oh man. Oh,
we have to do it.
3D? Oh my god. They're moving into 1998. It's like somebody. They would have been better off just making cardboard cutouts of birds. Oh, boy. And my favorite part was when the birds would attack them, and there would be all this noise and all this commotion, like, from the van perspective, right? And then they would look up at the sky, and it would be silence. The birds would be flapping, and then instantly after that, silence, go back to the van, and then all this noise.
I gotta tell you that, and so in Ithaca, I don't have air conditioning, and I you know, always have my windows open now because it's very hot and you got the fans going. So in the morning, the birds cut up. So every morning I'm thinking about this movie, and I think that's probably why it got in my head to get you to watch it, because I kind of thought about it. And it's just every morning these birds are caw, caw, and then like making a nest right over my window that's right over my bed, and they're just fighting or having sex, whatever birds do in the morning, with that they have to make so much freaking noise.
It is bad. It is the most annoying sound, and it's repeated. It's on a loop. So during the whole attack, it's this horrible screeching. It's like they're killing baby egrets or something throughout the whole movie, and you're like, please end it. End this madness.
You just start watching and you can't stop because you're just like, I don't believe money was spent on something like this. And the guy, I think his the director, writer, James Quinn, he does not see anything wrong with his film. He defends it like a mofo. And he is kind of offended that people would make fun of this film.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And I don't think he, like, paid some of the people in this film either. And this is, like, speculation, but I think I remember hearing this. But I'm not reading the article. But the guy was, like, he was the terror part of the shock and terror.
Is he making the second one or the...
Yes! And Rod, our
actor. Our wooden mannequin actor.
Yeah, he's gonna both of them gonna be back. His girlfriend and.
Are they married? Is she 500 pounds now?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's in production and.
Oh, thanks for walking me down memory lane. That was crazy.
That's a horrible.
I can't. I was like. Literally, I was hurt after I saw that movie. I was like, why? What did I do?
She's punished me.
I've been kicked off of Sci-Fi Party Line forever. This was her, like, Tony Soprano way to off me. And I was like, what the hell? But now, remembering the movie, I didn't even laugh that hard in the movie.
Oh my God.
I was shocked. The whole movie, I was just completely shocked at how sucktacular it was. And now, remembering it with you, I just was cracking up because it's so bad. It is so bad.
I mean, that
so
was worth bad. Sharing. Like, I had to hold that in because I couldn't get Carl to watch it because he shut me down. Oh. So I was like, well, maybe you, I thought you were going to shut me down too. A, I thought you were going to shut me down, or B, you were going to watch it and never speak to me again.
I just couldn't wait to talk about it with you because it was so wrong and bad.
And I do fault the Geek Tragedy podcast for introducing me to this.
Oh.
Because they's like, Kat, you got to watch this film because we're going to review it. And I was like, oh, this ought to be blah, blah. I felt the exact same way you did. I do. And I was initially angry with them for letting me. And every time I talk to the guy, I always bring it up like, oh, so you're trying to recommend a movie to me? And I was like, I don't know. I'm scared to watch it. I don't think I could trust you anymore.
I will say that I will probably watch The Room. I will probably watch The Room. But I don't know about trusting you.
No, these are like, those two are the ones that's like the worst that I'm ever going to recommend to you because they're so incredibly bad and horrible. Like, it's part of our little pop culture thing and you just have to have that experience, you know?
Well, yeah, I'm glad I saw it.
No, I know you're not glad. Don't be
it
like.
It enriched my life, really. It made me feel so much better about my own life.
At least you're not on record as having any part of that.
Oh, man. And then, like, the inconsistent, they would, like, ride around one scene to the next. The window's rolled down, but then it's rolled up. And then, like, they're shooting through the window and randomly... I don't. It's just great. It's just great. And then the soundtrack, like, has nothing to do with the movie. The soundtrack is just... Like, how do you explain the soundtrack?
Terrible?
But it, like, it's like it was completely independent of the movie. You know what I'm talking about? Like, beef, it's what's for dinner. Like, that was in the background, and then... There was no real soundtrack that had suspense in it. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It was the same soundtrack when they were frantically trying to fight off birds with hangers as it was with him driving through the street, like, for 5 minutes. My God. I mean, there was nothing. It made you really appreciate all of the stuff that you don't think about normally in a movie, like the sound people and the soundtrack people.
Yeah, Foley artists and yeah, this was just like, if you're gonna make a film, don't do it like this.
Yeah, don't.
Do it like Avengers, don't do it like Birdemic.
I don't even think if that guy had enough money to do a good movie that a good movie would happen. I don't think that...
I don't think so either.
I don't think that if he used to be a software engineer that decided to be a sales guy and make his million and then retire, like, I don't think he would have made a good movie after that.
This is classified as a romantic thriller.
By whom?
Him.
Oh! In his mind, maybe the little sex that happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So on. Yeah, we're not going to torture you anymore with this film. But I just wanted everyone to experience, like, it's no joke. This exists.
It does. It's on Netflix. You can watch it streaming.
That's the only way you're going to watch it, because don't pay for it ever.
No. I apologize to everybody about my outbursts. Sorry.
Hey, that was real. That was real. You had a real visceral response.
That was my truth.
So after this, are you gonna hang out with your family?
God, sitting there clapping in a members only jacket. And they're dancing, and they're the only ones dancing, and it was so awkward.
I wonder, like, if they, when they were filming it, did it feel as awkward as it's like, well, you know, it's film, so maybe it'll look better on film, because I know they had to feel that something was off.
And then they're looking up at the guy, like, it's the worst angle of that guy ever. It's like four chins, and you know that he doesn't actually have four chins, but the camera angle is practically up his nose. And then, like, it must have hit him or something, because the camera, like, suddenly jerked. That's so good.
Oh, okay. Man.
Thank you. Terrible. Thank you again for making me think that I had been offed Soprano style.
but then, like, you're like, I thought I had seen everything, right? And then you saw Birdemic.
I thought I had seen every bad movie there was. To be honest, when I first saw, when I first heard of the movie, it was you and Carl were talking about it. Sort of like you would reference it in Terranova, and you referenced it, I think you said that Monroe, the guy who plays for Monroe, was in it, but I didn't realize that was a joke, so I was expecting Monroe to be in it. I was expecting a horrible sci-fi channel original with dino birds and Monroe from Grimm. And I thought that was going to be bad.
I'm wow. Like,
she's going to... Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I want to see this sci-fi original.
I think that movie was way better than what you saw.
I know. And then I turn on this movie, and it's like a community college project.
Not even. Worse than...
Like, it was like with Vaseline on the lens, driving through suburban sprawl for 5 minutes after he got gas. What the hell? And then he walks with his little girl butt. He had like a super long torso that really accentuated his polo shirt from Best Buy. And then like the pants, like the Dockers. He's just walking in like a duck into this thing, and he scores what's her face, who, by the way, was completely disinterested in him. She was like, yeah, okay, so we went to high school together. Okay, creepy, you sat behind me in English class. Bye now. She walks away from him, and then like 2 minutes of showing her walk away, then the guy calls back and says, hey, actually, do you want to hang out sometime? And she's totally all into him suddenly. It's amazing.
It's terrible.
It is so good,
it's
though.
It's just the worst thing that you could ever watch. Like, it's really that bad.
It is. I think everybody, Kat says watch it. Steph Nini says don't watch it.
No. I'm going to say we watched it for you and we parsed it for you. And if you're interested to see the carnage that is Birdemic Shock and Terror, you know, go ahead at your own risk. But I cannot recommend it. But I wanted to do this public service announcement and then share my pain with Stephanie in order to present this gift to you, the world.
My life will be forever changed. Well, I had such a blast.
Yeah, this was awesome, guys. If you stayed to listen to the whole thing, you know, we love your feedback on it. Go give us a comment at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a message on Facebook / Sci-Fi Party Line. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Don't do it.
Everybody's wishing that she's fixing their favorite dish. Just hanging out, hanging out.